Time now for your comments. The morning after the president delivered his annual State of the Union, we delivered our annual fact check of the president's address. Thank you, NPR, writes Mona Parati of Clinton, New York. Finally, I was able to listen to a news piece that actually analyzed a politician's words for accuracy. I hope this is an approach you will use throughout this election year. Listener Jay Carlson was quite a bit less enthusiastic. The title you gave was fact-checking, Carlson writes. A better title would be, "We really don't like President Bush." You refuted virtually every claim from the president with general statements where you found nothing wrong with what the president said. Your, quote, analysis glossed this over and pointed to something else. And now some fact-checking of ourselves. On Monday, we said American University, where Senator Ted Kennedy endorsed Barack Obama, was the same place where President John F. Kennedy announced the Peace Corps. Matthew Grokoff of Ann Arbor, Michigan, pointed out that's wrong. He writes, it's bad enough that our auto industry is downsizing. Please don't downsize our history as well. Our apologies, Wolverines. The University of Michigan was where JFK launched the Peace Corps during a middle-of-the-night speech in 1960.
How many of you who are going to be doctors are willing to spend your days in Ghana, technicians or engineers? How many of you are willing to work in the Foreign Service and spend your lives traveling around the world?
We also got comments this week about Frank DeFord's preview of the Super Bowl, performed as a Shakespearean drama.
Yea, the true giants, these peerless monsters, call themselves patriots, even though they give shame to that sweet address, trafficking more as traitors, scoundrels in video deceit.
Those immortal words inspired some of you to write in with verse of your own, including Pamela Jennings of Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Frank DeFord, verily thou didst halt me dead in the tracks of my most hurried morning ablutions, with thine captivating tale of the great, nay super, tourney anon of the hallowed pigskin. Yea, mine admiration for thy wit doth wax brighter.
Robert Crowich's tale about how people hear music in their heads even when they're deaf got B. Cantor of Midlothian, Virginia, thinking. I have always loved Beethoven, she writes, and have always felt such pity. How could someone who loved music so much survive hearing loss? But maybe he did hear music inside his head. Maybe that famous scowl was not frustration, but concentration. He was capturing the compositions to write down. If you hear something you want to weigh in on, we hope you'll write. Go to npr.org and click on the button that says Contact Us.